She's always concerned. Just kind of
welcome to the House Committee on Human Services. Today, Wednesday, February 8th, 2012, we're carrying over House Bill 4083, and we will open up a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 4185. Welcome, Governor.
Mr. Madam Chair, I'd like to ask my colleague and fellow physician.
Would you identify yourself,
yes,
please?
For the record, I'm John Kitzhaber, Governor of the State of Oregon. And I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you today and testify in support of House Bill 4165. I'd like to take a few minutes and try to accomplish four things. First, I'd like to start by discussing the problem that this legislation seeks to address. Secondly, provide a very brief overview of the legislation. I know that my staff and others who are signed up can give you a more detailed discussion of the bill. I'd like to speak directly to several concerns that have been raised about the legislation. And finally, and most importantly, I'd like to urge you to support its passage. So the problem we're trying to address, every year in Oregon, as many of you know, we have 45,000 children who are born. And 40% of those kids, over 11,000, are at risk because they fail to get the prenatal care, the nutritional services, the early childhood services, the important relational support that's necessary to become independent and successful learners. Those risk factors are very well documented. They occur disproportionately among the poor, among children of color, and among English language learners. We also know that there's almost a linear correlation between those risk factors left intact and subsequent school failure, school dropout, social dependency, and involvement in the criminal justice system. If we had a disease that affected 40% of our children, we would call it an epidemic. And we would pull out all the stops to address it. And if we failed to do so, there would be a public outrage. Well, this is an epidemic. Not from an infectious agent, but just as deadly sure in terms of the lives and futures of these children. I first advocated for changing our system of early childhood services about 11 years ago with the Oregon Children's Plan. And then, as now, we heard voices sounding alarm about change, demanding endless delay, protecting turf and process, and asking us to trust the system without accountability. Now, over a decade later, we have statutes full of ambition and lofty goals, but we have a system with no one in charge, no clear accountability for outcomes, the inability to track a child from one program to another, and no intentional connection between those various programs and our K-12 system, which is one of the reasons that many kids who get great benefit from the Head Start program see those benefits diluted as they move through elementary school. So that's the problem. What does this legislation do? Well, first of all, let me tell you what it doesn't do. It doesn't change one penny worth of early childhood program delivery in this biennium. What it does do is it seeks to streamline and consolidate a fragmented governance structure to get it all aligned and pointed in the same direction so that next session, the Oregon legislature has the capacity to make investments in a more rational, aligned, performance-based, transparent system that is focused clearly on accountability and outcomes for our children. Now, the three concerns I'd like to touch on are, first, that this legislation and these concepts were developed without the input of experts, and that is categorically untrue. In fact, I would like to take this opportunity to thank all the experts and the advocates who have been engaged in this process over the past year to bring a product that I think many people behind you who are in the field will explain is an exceptionally good product. That process included not only the transition team, but the 31 individuals who served on the design team, who took testimony from over 36 organizations, over 50 individuals who are experts in the field, from academics to practitioners, and also reflected of the ethnic diversity of the state of Oregon. The second concern is that the process of replacing the local commissions on children and families is going too fast. We've addressed that at the request of the counties by moving the date for making that transition from July 1st, 2012 to July 1st, or maybe it's June 30th, 2013, and I believe that the counties are prepared to testify in support of the legislation today. The third and most disturbing issue has to do with Head Start. You know, the Head Start community has hired lobbyists, has leveled strident opposition to this piece of legislation. Individuals in the Head Start community have made comments, as reflected in the Observer and in the Oregonian, which to me go way beyond the pale, and they should be ashamed of themselves. This bill has reflected every legitimate concern that's been raised by the Head Start community. We've added members to the Early Learning Council to bring it into full compliance with the Federal Head Start Act. We have literally pasted parts of the Federal Head Start Act into this legislation. We have increased funding for the Head Start program in this budget, and we've referred to Head Start standards in this bill. So let's be very, very clear. Head Start is a great program, and through this process I just delineated, we have wed ourselves to the Head Start program into perpetuity if you pass this bill. Head Start serves 14,000 kids total. 7,000 of those kids are directly funded by the federal government. So even if we wanted to mess around with the Head Start program, we could only touch 7,000 kids, and as I just said, we haven't done that. The fact is there's at least 108,000 kids out there at risk. So over 90,000 of the at-risk kids in our state will never see a Head Start program. Now, writing those kids off to maintain the status quo may be okay with the Head Start program. It's not okay with me. It's not okay with those kids, and it shouldn't be okay for the state of Oregon. You know, all of us pay lip service to changing this early childhood system. We all recognize it's broken. The problem is what that means to many people is don't change my funding stream. Don't change my program. Change somebody else's. And at some point, the adults in this system have to remember that this isn't about them. It's not about their programs. It's not about their process. It's not about their funding stream. It's figuring out how to help kids and give every child in the state a chance to succeed. You know, I once said that Oregon won't be a good place for any of us to live unless it's a good place for all of us to live. Well, our early childhood service program shouldn't be good enough for Oregon until it serves all of our kids, not just 14,000 of them. I want to close with something Bobby Kennedy said in 1968. At the City Club of Cleveland, the day after Martin Luther King was assassinated. And his speech was very short, and it was about violence in America. And he said, there's also another kind of violence that's slower, but just as deadly, destructive, as the bomb or the shot in the night. And that's the violence of institutions, of indifference, of inaction, of slow delay. This is the violence that afflicts the poor. This is the violence that poisons relationships between people because of the colors of their skin. This is the slow destruction of a child from hunger, from schools without books, from homes without heat in the winter. We have an institution. We call it our early childhood delivery system. It's time to stop defending our institutions. It's time to start doing what we know to be right for our children, for our state, and for our future. I urge you to support this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. Senator, would you like to speak before we ask questions, allow the committee to ask questions?
It's up to the Governor.
No, it's not up to me.
I wish you have another committee to go to.
Yes, ma'am,
so
I
that's
do.
Why
Thank
I'm
you.
Thinking.
That's very kind
Is that
of
okay,
you.
Governor? Would you be willing to stay for a couple
yes,
of
ma'am.
Minutes? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Co-Chair, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Elizabeth Steiner Hayward. I'm a family physician, president of the Oregon Academy of Family Physicians, and the state senator from District 17. I'm delighted to be here with both of the representatives from my district, Representative Harker and Representative Greenlick. I'm here today to just talk briefly from the primary care physician's perspective about how important this legislation is. We spend a lot of time with children in those first years of life. We see them early on. We're the ones who are required, who are in the best position to see when they're failing to meet milestones, when they're going to need special services. And then when we do, now, here's what happens. We see a child who needs services. We put in a referral. We have families who really don't know how to access the system. They make phone calls that don't get returned or get returned when they're not home. There's months of telephone tag. And these children get delays and delays and delays, and we have no way of really knowing what's going on with them. And then when they're seen, unless they're seen within an integrated healthcare system where we happen to have a full electronic health record, and those are rare across the state, we don't even get anything back. So we don't know what's going on with these kids. And the families have no way of knowing that all the people who are caring for their children and their families are talking to each other and making sure that we're keeping our focus, as the governor said, on the child. This is not a child-focused system now. It's not a system at all, with respect. We have some great people out there doing wonderful things to help our children, but they're doing them in little silos, in little boxes, and they're not talking with each other. So kids are falling through the cracks, or they're getting duplicate services, and nobody knows what everybody else is doing. This legislation has enormous potential to finally integrate the services that we, on the front line of primary care medicine, provide to our youngest Oregonians, and the services that they need from everybody else, from Head Start, from speech and language pathologists, to physical therapists, to educational specialists, you name it, to get us all on the same page, really working hard to protect these children and ensure their success. The adage of a penny saved is a penny earned is a great one, and we all want to be focused on saving money. But we know that in early childhood, a dollar invested is $10 saved down the road. As the governor said, kids dropping out of school and getting engaged in the criminal justice system is an expensive proposition. And I'd much rather spend money early on helping kids be successful than spend money down the road keeping them in jail. So as the governor does, without his eloquence or passion, well, with his passion, but without his eloquence, I urge your support of this bill, and I think it will provide enormous benefit to the children of our state. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions of either of these wonderful people on our panel? I can't believe that.
Actually.
Yes.
Thank you. I want to thank you both, and I want to thank you for the effort that you've put into making sure that we begin to really address this issue for all of those young kids across the state. I know from a lot of personal experience how important the Head Start program, the early childhood program, can be, dating back to my grandparents, my grandmother starting one in 1952, a program for kids who were sharecropper kids in the Boot Heel, Missouri. There are several concerns that I have. You were attempting to address some of them, and I appreciate that. I go back to something that I began to look at earlier this year, last year. That was Finland, and noticing what they did, and what we've got to go past is a sense of a definition of equity. Equity is not just giving everybody the same amount of money. It's giving those kids and those programs what they need to be effective. And sometimes that cost is going to be different kid to kid. The concern that I have is making sure that in this particular program, in this particular system, we are in fact doing that and not taking money away. And I think you have that as an image and a concept. I wanted to make sure that you understood that that's one of the primary concerns that I have there. I don't want to see those programs that are successful, that are working, suddenly cut because we've decided to have the same amount of money for every kid rather than what they need for equity. So that's one of the key elements that I wanted to deal with there. And and making sure that we have those experts there making those decisions, not just as testifying, but actually there as part of the decision-making process directly. And I'm pleased to see that we're going to have two folks from the Head Start program on that panel. I hope that they are not marginalized within that panel, but they are in fact listened to as a major source of true information on the ground. So thank you.
Madam Chair, Representative Frederick, two very brief comments. On the first point, you're absolutely right. I mean, we know that, for example, in our healthcare system, it is about 20% of the people who drive about 80% of the cost. And we're going to spend more on those people in order to keep them healthy than we have to on most of the people. So the objective here really is to get the child to the outcome. It's not on a formula basis, you know, we're going to spend $10 on each child. We're going to have to give some kids more attention, more service to get them over the bar. The objective here is to actually make it happen for all kids. So I just for the record completely agree with the Representative Frederick on this, and certainly we'll do all I can to make sure that that's in court, because it won't work if we don't do that. And on the final point, I just want to make sure you understand that I have a strong support of the Head Start program. Very much so, and there was no intention in anybody's mind to marginalize those in the Head Start program, but there's no intention to marginalize those service providers who are taking care of the vast majority of the kids in this state who don't ever have access to a Head Start program. So hopefully we can get beyond that and create a sort of a collaborative effort that all of the individual parts become larger than themselves.
Senator Greenlee.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Governor, for your elegance and your passion, and also quoting Bobby Kennedy, which automatically rings my bell. There's an adage among wing walkers, you know, folks who used to walk on the biplane wings, that you never give up with one hand until you have a firm hold with the other hand. And I think what you're asking us to do here, and to a certain extent in healthcare, where I'm also supporting you, is essentially to go bare. There's no question things need to change, but we also want to make sure that that guy is not swept off the airplane to a certain extent. How can you help me answer my constituents who are essentially raising that question?
Well, I actually used this analogy in my cynical speech last year. But uh-huh. I mean, the analogy, it's like the wing walker, except the analogy I'd use is the ropes game in outdoor school, where you're put on a 10-foot post and you have a rope and you're balancing, and over here's another post and another rope, and the only way you can get from one to the other, in this case the old service delivery system to the new one, is you have to lean out and stretch yourself, and for a minute you got to let go of the old rope and to grab the new one. Clinging to the familiar is human nature. Reaching for the possible, to some extent, is an act of faith. And so the reason that we have tried to break this into bites, the reason we didn't change any of the funding of the current system this year, is because we have to be able to describe to the legislature and to people who are concerned in pretty robust terms what that next system is going to look like. So the first step is to, basically, as I said, this bill is to design the governance structure for a system that will be integrated, that will be accountable, that will be transparent, and based on performance. Bring that to you. You've got to sign off on that before you fund it, before you change any funding streams. And in the process, we'll be describing sort of what these accountability hubs look like, so that at the end of the session, we'll be in a position to actually put out an RFP and move forward. So it's a two-step process, and we're very cognizant of that. But we think that with the people that you're going to hear from today, that we have some elements of our system that are working very, very well, Head Start being one of them. We've got other elements that are struggling, but all of them are disconnected. And they're not connected as intentionally as they should be to our K-12 system. So our job, your job, is to design that new system so that people can see it and believe in it and let go of that old rope in order to embrace it.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you. I've gone wing walking on numerous occasions with Representative Greenlee, and the difference between the two of us is he hangs on with one hand or the other, I'm hanging on for dear life. And with that thought in mind, isn't July 2012, which is about 4 months from now, a little bit of a short notice to get this bill passed, get rules written, and have an implementation date? Wouldn't it be better to slow this down a little and transition these county commissions that are up to their neck in families of all kinds of situations? I just, man, this is fast. I mean, I thought this session was fast, but, you know, we got 4 months to get this going. And, you know, I know that your side of the equation is ready to write rules by next Tuesday, but, you know, there's a lot of work to be done here. We're not just tweaking this system.
Madam Chair, Representative Thompson, actually the amendment that we've agreed to, I don't know if it's in the bill yet or in amendments that are going to be brought, was recommended by the counties, and that would be to delay the transition, the phase out of the local commissions on children and family from July or June 30th, 2012 to July to June 30th, 2013 to add another year.
I apologize, yes, I don't have that. I don't, at least I don't have it with me, but yeah. That doesn't mean I'm not supposed to have it.
If I could make a comment, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know who was speaking. Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Thompson and Representative Greenlink, I'd like to just follow up on what the Governor said in his comment about, and your comment, Representative Greenlink, about wing walking and the Governor's about ropes courses. I just walked down the hall from the Senate Education and Workforce Development Committee where we passed 1581, the Oregon Education Investment Board bill, out of committee to Ways and Means. And Senator Morse, when he moved the bill out, put the words "with a leap of faith" in his motion. We are taking some leaps of faith here. That being said, the three biggest things that we're considering in this building this session, this bill, 1581, the education bill, and 1580, the healthcare transformation bill, to my mind, require movement together. They all require leaps of faith. They're all integrated with each other. None of them will work as well if the others don't pass. That's my personal opinion, but these are leaps of faith and they are scary, but they will work much better together than they will work alone.
Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Thank you both for being here. And Governor, I'm going to focus on what I heard were very positive comments about Head Start, and I think we're in agreement. What I'm hoping and what I'm hearing is, in addition to what we're trying to do to move forward, we are not ignoring what works. And there are lots of people in this room that represent programs that work, and Head Start would be at the top of my list. And so, again, I appreciate what you said. Change is difficult, and there is some friction to move forward. Would you say a word, and we want to move on with our testimony, Madam Chair, about those children in the older ages, not in the early learnings part, and how it's affecting them? There is some concern, as I'm sure you're aware, that we haven't forgotten our adolescents, our junior high, and our senior high.
So, Madam Chair, Representative Gilliam, I'm going to let Duke Shepard, when he testifies, go into that in great detail. But the program actually, the idea is to link the early childhood program to programs that actually address adolescents and youth who are already, some of them, struggling as well. So this is not an either-or. We've actually thought through that, and I think Duke can go into some detail about how we intend to do that. But your point's very well taken. And in terms of your first point, we have no intention or desire to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. There are elements that are working well. We just want them to all work together as a system and make sure that those benefits of the early childhood years are carried through and amplified as kids move through elementary school, hopefully to college and career.
Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. Any quick questions? Yes, we have 40 people signed up to testify. I'm just
very quick.
FYI.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a comment. Governor, thank you, because there is much fear, uncertainty, and doubt being peddled in the building, particularly around Head Start. And just to echo this, we like what it does. You like what it does. You're not throwing this out. Thank you for taking it on directly here in this session.
Thank you, Arthur.
Anything else? Thank you both so much, and thank you for bringing this bill to us.
Thank you.
Is Representative Wisnett still here? Okay. Then we will have Duke Shepherd, please.
You can read all that, Duke.
Best to read it.
Just to read through it quickly.
Oh, Representative Joe, can you hold on just a minute? I'm gonna.
Absolutely.
Representative Wisnett, we have over 40 people here to testify. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Duke, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Come on, Steph. Mr. Shepherd, I cannot call him Duke today.
Oh,
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Chair, and honorable colleagues. I'm State Representative Gene Wisnant, House District 53. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today about House Bill 4165, the Early Learning Council Bill. I'm here, I'm afraid, following the governor and Mr. Shepherd here, to oppose the bill and the elimination of the Commission on Children and Family System. For the past 12 years, I've probably spent more time working on the Commission on Children and Family Issues in the county and state levels than any member of this body. Thus, I'm testifying with experience and knowledge on this system. I am concerned we're eliminating a system which has succeeded and has a national reputation for dealing with children and family issues. Our commission system is a simple system with a minimum budget. It's led the state in using evidence-based programs with outcomes. In fact, we passed Senate Bill 267, which requires 75% of the state commission programs to be evidence-based. I oppose the Early Learning Center bill because the proposed system adds management levels, which make it very much more difficult to get critical issues to the governor. Under the commission system, counties can quickly identify local issues like increased teenage pregnancy, underage smoking, homeless teenagers, and daycare quality. Counties then work with the state commission, who reports directly to the governor. I'm not sure how many layers exist in the new proposal between children and family issues and the governor. I believe the proposed system will be more costly than the current budget due to the additional bureaucrats and layers of management. There'll be more state employees, secretaries, vehicles, and fewer funds to address the issues directly. Our current system uses many volunteers. I'm also concerned about the constitutional issue of legislators delegating responsibility stated in Article 3, Section 2 related to the legislative budget. If this bill goes forward, and I imagine it will, I do support the Association of Counties and Deschutes County Commission and Head Start recommendations concerning House Bill 4165, which I think will extend the commission system for another year. Also, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair, I have provided amendments that Mr. Shepherd has seen concerning our license plate bill, Keep Kids Safe, the House Bill 3684 that we passed last session to provide funding for to prevent child abuse or to fund child abuse prevention programs. In closing, I'm concerned that the good intentions of the supporters of this bill may result in less timely and less cost-effective attention to critical children's issues. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. I'm not going to open up to questions here. Thank you for coming. Okay, Mr. Shepherd.
Co-Chair Tomei, Co-Chair Gilliam, for the record, Duke Shepherd, policy advisor to Governor Kitzhaber. I thought the governor hit many of the points of the bill, but I thought I would go through and also highlight for you the amendments that I thought you would have that I received via email at 3:08 p.m. and have not read yet. But I can tell you what I submitted.
Do you have them in front of you?
My assistant printed a pair. I haven't read them. I just got it right now. So I can tell you what I submitted and what the governor's intent is.
Okay.
And I will just say I hope you pass the bill so Representative Wisnant gets his amendments, because the amendments are good.
Wow.
So the first, governor talked about streamlining the state governance, and this bill eliminates the Oregon Commission on Children and Families, the Commission for Child Care, and replaces the Early Childhood Matters Advisory Council, which was created by executive order to comply with the Head Start Act and is not in statute. So we would consolidate all of those boards. This will not create new staff. There are no new staff positions anticipated, and my bet is over time we will need less staff at the state level to do this stuff if we have fewer boards and meetings and processes in front of us. In the bill, this is not reflected, but in the amendments that I have submitted, we've removed the non-voting portion regarding the Head Start, the additional Head Start members. So it was ex officio non-voting. Legislative Council has said we should still use the word ex officio because it refers to the office that is held by the person. For example, the Child Care Division Director is a person who is required to be on there in the act. Their service would be contingent upon their continuing to have that job. But everyone on there would be a full voting member, no differentiation whatsoever. Again, if the amendments are what I hope they are. Second, Representative Gilliam was right on point about youth over the age of 5 or the age of 6. So because the Commission on Children and Families, the State Commission, manages and oversees many programs and funds having to deal with youth of a variety of ages, they recommended, and Dick Withnell can tell you more about this later perhaps, the creation of a youth development council to try to do across the variety of youth services what we're attempting to do with early learning, which is better coordinate all of the programs we have across state government. Now, the amendments that I've worked on with advocates and others would build in a one-year transition for the Juvenile Crime Prevention Advisory Committee, so we can have a smooth transition forward. As Representative Wisnett pointed out, the bill does eliminate the requirement for counties to have local commissions, and that in the bill now is coming up, Representative Thompson pointed out, June 30th, 2012, the governor is committed to, and these amendments are expected to, bump that out to 2013 so that there is an orderly transition. And we've attempted to use the term orderly transition as much as possible and have enjoyed working with county commissioners to make that happen. 4165, House Bill 4165, this is the relating clause obviously, but wasn't the original point of the bill, removes the sunset from the Early Learning Council. And this was because we, when it was created, the Oregon Education Investment Board has a sunset. But now we are actually eliminating bodies with ongoing statutory responsibility. So in order to not sunset everything that they do, the sunset on the Early Learning Council had to come out. That puts us a little out of sync with the investment board, and we hope that we can continue to maintain the direct connection to the investment board, and then if hopefully the future legislatures deal with that sunset issue however they choose to. As the governor mentioned, the legislation embeds Head Start outcome standards in statute and directs alignment with Common Core K-12 statute standards. Directs the Child Care Division to work on the implementation of a tiered quality rating and improvement system for licensed child care facilities. You will hear more about that from child care experts. The legislation calls for a joint planning process between the Early Learning Council and the State Interagency Coordinating Council on early intervention and early childhood special education. It's a loosely directed planning exercise because the governor wants to be clear there's no predetermined outcome here. It really is just about figuring out how we can get everything to work better together with the money that we have now. The legislation calls for a financial model to be reported back to the legislature as an option. It's an option, you can take it or leave it, for a global budget, which is a term borrowed from the healthcare world. The amendments will use the term comprehensive children's budget because there are models in Louisiana and Connecticut that demonstrate how you can begin to look at budgets and funding across programs and bureaucracies to comprehensively track how you're spending money and tie those together. So I have handed to your staff a report that that demonstrates those models from Louisiana, Connecticut. I think I will conclude my testimony because the governor hit the other parts.
Great. Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Shepherd?
Just that last comprehensive children's...
A comprehensive children's budget.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
Madam Co-Chair, can I make one more point?
Of course.
The term that we've created over the past year for these new entities for this RFP to happen around coordination toward outcomes has been accountability hub. That term's not in the bill. It says community-based coordinators of early learning services. Doesn't matter to the governor what the term is. Legislative Council worked that term into the bill, and whether it's hub or coordinated system, the function is the important part.
Right. Thank you. All right. Any further questions? Thank you so much. Will you be staying in case other questions come up?
Oh, yes.
That would be great. Thank you. So we have Elise Brown, Isaac Regenstrife. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Great. Swati Adarkar. A dark car. I think that's right, isn't it? Is that right? Okay, and David Mendel.
She's not in the room.
Who is it?
Phyllis.
She does.
I know, she's...
Okay. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Isaac Regan-Strife, and I am chair of the Ready for School Leaders panel.
You know, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we do have over 40 people wanting to testify, so I figure if we give everybody 2 minutes, I think that will work. Everybody okay with that? And if somebody has already said what it is you were going to say, if you could just say I agree with them or put up your hand and let me know so we don't have to repeat testimony. So with that in mind, go ahead.
Fair enough. Our formal testimony has been distributed, and I will try to abbreviate that a little bit. We are a group of volunteers from around the state, business leaders, former elected officials, citizen activists, Republicans, and Democrats. None of us are employed by any child caring agency. None of us are employed by any government agencies. What we all share is a common belief and driving motivation that there is no more important investment that Oregon can make for its future than early childhood. And with me today to help answer questions are Elise Brown, our committee chair, and David Mandel. Understand with your hearing schedule, we can be back for early sessions if you'd like us to be back to help with that. For the past 8 years, under the able leadership of Dick Alexander, we have advocated side by side with Head Start, Stanford Children, and many others for investment in quality pre-K and kindergarten. We continue to do that, and one of the reasons we wanted to be here today was to thank you and your colleagues for everything you have done over the past two or three sessions to recognize the importance of that investment. Today, to the bill, House Bill 4165, we are in strong support of that legislation. Despite the best efforts of many dedicated people, we are still falling short. I can echo and describe, and our folks can, research study after research study about the importance of early childhood and the return on investment from that. What we know is that despite our best efforts, too many children in Oregon are not entering kindergarten ready to learn. That leads them to a situation where they are more likely to not graduate from high school, more likely to come in contact with the criminal justice system. Certainly, funding, adequate funding, is part of the answer, but it is not the entire answer. Too much of the money that we're already spending is being spent without adequate data on kindergarten readiness, on outcomes-based research about what really works. We believe that the hundreds of millions that are spent in Oregon today are spent ineffectively. You guys took the first step with Senate Bill 909 last time. We believe that the recommendations of the Early Learning Council are the important next step, and we encourage passage of House Bill 4165.
Thank you so much for your testimony.
Co-chairs, Elise Brown, representing the Children's Institute and Ready for School. And we did have a very special leaders panel member who was invited to be here today, wanted to be here very much and couldn't be, and that's Governor Vic Atiyah. With your permission and indulgence, I would like very much to read his letter as he asked me to do that. It's a very quick letter.
Okay.
On his behalf. Dear committee members, I testify today as former governor who has seen the good things happen when legislators come together from both sides of the aisle to take action. I believe you have such an opportunity in front of you today. My testimony is on behalf of the Ready for School Leaders Panel. I've been an active member of this group for a number of years because I wholeheartedly believe that early education programs such as Head Start and Early Head Start are the most cost-effective way to put kids in the right path and build a healthy workforce. I regret that I can't be here today in person, but I offer this testimony today to impress upon you the importance of enacting House Bill 4165. This will give our state unprecedented opportunity to change the rules of the game for the most disadvantaged children in Oregon, who, despite our best efforts, are not arriving ready for kindergarten. As these children proceed through later grades, the achievement gap becomes a wide chasm and has a long reach, affecting graduating rates, future earnings, and health outcomes. House Bill 4165 would require the state put into place a kindergarten readiness assessment and establish a quality rating system for early education providers. Both of these achievements will help improve the quality of available early learning programs and provide critical information for parents, providers, educators, and policymakers. Moreover, early childhood programs of Oregon are currently scattered across six state agencies and subject to a chaotic governance of different rules, regulations, and standards. This bill would build a more coherent and coordinated early childhood system by creating an early, by creating an oversight early learning council and replacing the state commission system. This legislature has already taken important steps toward achieving these goals by passing Senate Bill 909 last session. I ask you to carry forth the amendment, the momentum that this bill, along with the Governor Kitzhaber's exciting plan and vision, has generated. We cannot afford to lose this opportunity, both for ourselves and for the future of our state. Sincerely, Victor Attia. And I'm sorry he couldn't be here today to deliver that in person.
It would have been good to have seen him. Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Mr. Brown. Mandel, I'm sorry.
I was just on hand in case there's any questions.
Any quick questions? Could you say your name, please?
David Mandel, Policy and Research Director of the Children's Institute.
Great. Thank you so much for being here. If we have any questions, we might ask them later. Thanks for staying. Okay. So now we have Janet Carlson and Hillary Saraceno. Okay, we're going to have 30 seconds.
Okay, very good. Madam Chair, I will be brief.
Thank you, Janet. Go ahead.
For the record, my name is Janet Carlson. I am a commissioner, county commissioner from Marion County, and I serve as the Association of Oregon County's immediate past president. I co-chaired the AOC Early Learning Task Force, which provided a report. All of you should have received it in your offices. It has 25 recommendations. I'm handing you the executive summary. We reviewed the bill and the substance of the amendments that we got by email from Duke Shepherd at our meetings on Monday, and took a position to support House Bill 4165 with what we understand will be the governor's amendments. And the two sections that we are most concerned about, one is a section that has a partnering with county government language in it that mirrors kind of the overall statement that's in House Bill 3650 that passed in 2011, and the other is the extension to June 30th, 2013 that you heard the governor talk about. I served in the legislature during the 2001 session when the Oregon Children's Plan was passed. I was one of the House members that supported that plan. I agree with the governor that the vision from 2001 was not achieved for a myriad of reasons. Extensive planning requirements, lack of a common database and common outcomes, and a focus on operating with rapidly declining revenues over the last 10 years. I also want to underscore that a lot of good has been achieved through the local commissions on children and families and the county services, and also that counties, a number of counties, have done a great deal of work over the past year to prepare themselves for this transition and are creating systems that can be built upon for the governor's plan. I think what, for me, has been the most compelling rationale for this bill is the collective impact and the idea that everyone's focused on the same goal. I've experienced this with reentry in my own county, where the recidivism rate for offenders generally is around 26% now in my county, but for the reentry population in a collaborative program, it's 5%. So I have seen that outcomes can be achieved.
Thank you very much, Jen.
Thank you.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, I am Hillary Saraceno, director of the Deschutes County Children and Families Commission, and I thank you for the opportunity to testify on behalf of Deschutes County Commissioner Tammy Bailey.
Back a little bit from the, just push it in front of you a little bit. There you go.
Yeah.
You're a little
very
bit too
sensitive.
Close.
Oh, sorry.
Perfect.
It's okay. Okay, better.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm Hillary Saraceno, director of the Children and Families Commission. Hopefully that didn't interrupt my time. I hope I don't lose anything. So I'm here on behalf of Commissioner, Deschutes County Commissioner Tammy Bainey and the Deschutes County Board of County Commissioners. For the record, Deschutes County Commission on Children and Families has a long history of successfully working in partnership, working in community, identifying needs and gaps in the community, bringing the community together to find innovative solutions to address local needs, investing in evidence-based programs, projects, and initiatives that get results, ensuring accountability for investments, and a long history of being a pioneer and an early adapter. The Deschutes County Children and Families Commission has served as a catalytic leader with efforts resulting in long-lasting changes and implementation of innovative strategies that have changed conditions and outcomes for children and families. I provided you with several examples. Because of time, I won't go through them, but we have many more if you care to see those. The point being, in Deschutes County, we are very committed to achieving outcomes, maximizing resources, building on assets and strengths, and finding innovative solutions. And we take pride and having a can-do attitude with a pioneer spirit. In that spirit, Deschutes County and the Central Oregon region are committed to finding a way to make both the education and healthcare reform efforts work, to do everything we can to assist in helping to facilitate a successful outcome. And more importantly, the Central Oregon region is ready. Ready to assist in this reform effort and to make it a success. Cook, Deschutes, and Jefferson County have been working with several local schools, the regional ESDs, Neighbor Impact, and others. And we have some diagrams that we provided in your packet. We don't have time to go through them, but are one of the key things that we're trying to do is find a structure in which we can partner with the Early Learning Hub with the CCOs. So we do have that.
Thank you. You do a great job in Deschutes County. Thank you very much. Next, we will have Nicole Maher and Betsy Earls. And we've got other seats. Let's have Sue Miller. And is Dick Clifnell here?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Nicole must be outside.
Okay, come on up and just quickly announce who you are, and we'll give you 2 minutes.
I'm after you.
Yes, you know you go first.
No. You set the stage.
No, go ahead. You want me to go first, right?
Go ahead.
Madam Co-Chairs, my name is Dick Withnell. I'm the Commission Chair for the State Commission on Families and Children. I'll be out of business on June 30th. And also I'm on the Early Learning Council, also appointed by that. I'm here to support HB 4165. And I'm giving from a business point of view on the return on investment. What happens when someone Googles the state of Oregon? Do they see that we're 46 out of 50 states in the K-12 achievement? And that's not acceptable. So we need to change whatever we've been doing. It's not being satisfactory. And so I really encourage us to look at the early childhood development particularly. I need to say publicly, because of Sue Miller in 1997, Sue Miller and Deanna Smith brought the Relief Nursery to Salem and opened my eyes about the early childhood development on the brain development. The first 24, 30 months is 80% of the brain development. Very significant. And so you are staging the individual's life and how they're going to succeed. When I look at the budgets and we see the Pac-Man effect of the Department of Human Services, DOC, Oregon Youth Authority, almost $15 billion. That's a pretty significant expense, and if we can cut into that, it will help us financially. I think we need to move fast. I encourage what the governor has said. I kind of frame it, if our education system right now, with the outcomes that we're getting, evidenced by being 46 out of 50 states, it's okay if you're on the Titanic to be excessively impatient.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, Co-Chair and Co-Chair Gilliam, my name is Sue Miller. I'm the Executive Director of Family Building Blocks, which is the relief nursery serving Marion and Polk counties. I'm here speaking today on behalf of the Oregon Association of Relief Nurseries in strong support of this bill. There are 15 relief nurseries throughout the state now, which we're very excited about. We have wonderful outcomes with the families we work with. We work with very high-risk families that have children aged 5 and under, and 99% of the children we've worked with in the last several years have been able to stay out of the foster care system, avoid abuse and neglect, and stay with their families. So we know what we do works. A huge part of our work is done in partnership with other agencies, both public and private, and we're just part of the early childhood system in every community that we're a part of. As you know, there are many excellent early childhood programs in the state, and I think we're all excited to have an opportunity to work together to put the new system together. We share the concern that there are a lot of children not being served. We think that potential challenges to us providers are far outweighed by the potential benefits to children in our state. And in conclusion, I just want to put my family building blocks hat on for 30 seconds and say that when our board voted to support this measure on Monday, Dick was part of the meeting, there was a lot of excitement about potentially having Marion and Polk counties be an early implementer, early adapter, whatever it might be called. So if you all go down that road, we'd love to be considered. We're already in conversations with the early childhood system, with our county, Janet Carlson taking the lead there, with the healthcare providers. We are already rolling and would just love to have you set the stage so that we can do it.
Thank
with
you,
your
Sue.
Blessing.
And colleagues, if you haven't been visited one of these relief nurseries, do yourself a favor. It is great fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Nicole Maher, and I have the pleasure of serving as the Executive Director for the Native American Youth and Family Center, and I'm also here, and today is my capacity as the co-chair of the Communities of Color Coalition. In addition to that, I'm an enrolled member of the Tlingit Tribe, and I'm a proud mother of a 2-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son. I'm standing here, or sitting here today, firmly in support of this bill. While I know there are many phenomenal programs serving young children today, I also know that we have a deeply misaligned system. While we have wonderful programs and good intentions, we know that some of our poorest and most vulnerable children are being left out, and without deep alignment and better accountability, we're not going to remedy that issue. And this is a very important issue to the state of Oregon. I live in a county where more than one out of every 2 children is a person of color, and we're not the most diverse county in the state of Oregon. And if we are not thoughtful about the way that we realign services to serve our most vulnerable children, we are going to be paying a deep consequence in our future. For example, in the Native American community, in Multnomah County, we make up 7% of the children who are eligible for Head Start, and yet we end up being only 1/8 of 1% of the people served in Head Start. And so there's only great opportunities for improvement, and I truly believe that this bill represents that path. I also think the development of this bill was one of our better attempts to really engage the community in developing solutions, and I think it makes it an extraordinary piece of work. Thank you for my time.
Thank you. It's great. So I called Betsy Earls. Is Betsy here? And Mary Louise McClintock. And we have, after that, Ann Stone and Dr. Dana Hargunani. There should be 4 chairs there, so please. Betsy, I called your name, so that's okay. You sit in one of the 4 chairs. And whoever sits down, just start talking.
Good afternoon, Madam Co-Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee. I'm Mary Louise McClintock. I'm the director of the Early Childhood Program at the Oregon Community Foundation, which is Oregon's largest foundation. In 2011, we awarded over $80 million in grants and scholarships throughout the state, and early childhood has been one of our highest priorities for more than 2 decades. I'm happy to say that just this morning, the Board of Directors unanimously and enthusiastically endorsed House Bill 4165. I've attached a letter from our board chair and our president to the copies of my written testimony. OCF doesn't take positions on legislation very often, only when the stakes are highest or when we think that our voice can make the most difference, and I think this is one of those times. Because of our grant-making in communities around the state, at OCF we know there are excellent programs all over Oregon. Some of them are national models. But given the good work that is being done and the amount of money we are spending collectively, as a state, we should be getting better results than we are. From our vantage point as a funder, we see publicly funded early childhood programs in the same communities that are not coordinating with each other because of barriers between agencies and funding streams. And all too often, we don't even know what we're accomplishing program to from program to program and how it all adds up to a strategy for getting children off to a good start. House Bill 4165 starts us down the path to building a more coherent system that sets high standards for outcomes, integrates programs at state and community levels, and develops critical tools for accomplishing that, such as a child care rating system and a kindergarten readiness assessment. The Oregon Community Foundation urges you to move down this path, not just because we share your goal of ensuring that all children are prepared for school, but because the publicly funded early childhood system is the framework for our private investments also. And we look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Madam and Mr. Chair and members of the community committee, I'm Ann Stone, the Oregon Pediatric Society Executive Director, and I'm going to take a slightly different tact here. You will hear many, many early childhood experts today, but what we encourage you to also think about is the opportunity that this legislation affords us to link between the early childhood system and the health reform efforts and the CCOs. Really, you've heard this before. School success begins at birth, right? But what you need to be thinking about is that that means we are very, very clearly linking to a healthcare system that is completely siloed from the early childhood system. This organization has been out around the state for the last 3 years training nurse practitioners and family medicine practitioners and pediatricians in basic broad developmental screening, autism screening, maternal depression screening, and then what? They find families that are challenged. They find problems that they don't know where to go with, and they have no easy entry point, and it's not because of a lack of caring on either side. It's just that we have created a system that is completely separate and completely disconnected. The opportunity here is to be bold and create an opportunity to jump from the one rope to the other at a time when you're doing it together, that you're creating the linkages now to pay attention to the first 1,000 days of life, when that early brain development and early brain architecture is creating lifelong health and wellness trajectories. So from the Oregon Pediatric Society, the issue is how do we do this in a very thoughtful way, but in a very leveraged way. So we encourage your adoption or your support of this bill.
Thank you, Anne.
Co-chairs Tomei and Gilliam, and members of the committee, my name is Dina Harganani. I am the Child Health Director for the Oregon Health Authority. However, today I'm here speaking as a pediatrician, as a public health professional, and as a mother of three pre-kindergarten children. I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 4165. As you've heard and is well known, that the foundations of lifelong health and economic prosperity are established prenatally in early childhood. We know that early experiences and environmental influences are critical for the future trajectory of a child's life. However, in my world in pediatrics, I see every day that this system is completely disconnected and uncoordinated. The Early Learning Council and House Bill 4165 offers an opportunity to change that. Transforming the early learning system and the healthcare delivery system are critical, and let me share a very brief story of how this link occurs. As a professor of pediatrics, I recently contacted a Head Start program to see if our pediatric residents could observe their Head Start classes, an extremely important resource for our children. They were very eager to support our educational needs, but they had an ask as well. Nearly 25% of their children in their program lacked a healthcare exam or dental exam that is required by the federal Head Start program. While some of those children were uninsured, the majority had an identified primary health care doctor. Yet the barriers to getting preventive health services for those families were far too great. The Head Start program asked us to have a health fair, a one-day health fair, where we could do over 20 exams on those children. Doing an exam on a child in a school gymnasium as an unfamiliar health care provider is not a medical home, and our disconnected system is not the way that we can serve our vulnerable children. We need to align these transformation efforts, and I recommend your support for this bill. Thank you.
That is a solid statistic. Thank you so much.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Betsy Earls, representing Associated Oregon Industries, and Duncan Wise asked that I also carry the Oregon Business Council's support for the bill that you're considering today. AOI has approximately 1,600 employer members, and those employers employ approximately 200,000 workers. Increasingly, the jobs that our employers have available require highly skilled workers, and those skills can really only be obtained through a very comprehensive, excellent education that begins very early with nurturing children's brains. For Oregon's economy and its businesses to compete effectively in a global economy, its citizens and workers really do have to be educated. The state's economic and competitive success depends on having a wealth of well-educated and highly skilled employees, not just some. We need to have an overabundance of those because they're not available at this point. Research in the last decade has really only reinforced what we already know, which is how important the early years are in brain development. And how the brain develops is really the key determinant in the obstacles or opportunities that a child will face later on in school and in life. There's no government spending that we could do that would have a bigger return on investment than investing in early learning, preparing children for kindergarten, and ensuring that their families have the assets to succeed will make the K-12 experience more successful for the child, the family, and the school, and hopefully carry those children beyond 12 into post-secondary education. The business and philanthropic communities invest substantial funds in programs in communities across Oregon that are related to early learning, and we feel that our investments could be better leveraged if the programs that we invest in were more coordinated with each other and with the next step in the education system, which is kindergarten.
Thank you, Betsy. Okay, and so next, thank you very much.
Madam Chair, I would like to say that I submitted a report to you, which I submitted electronically. It was 43 pages long, so you all should have access to that.
I'm sure we've read it thoroughly.
It's in your package as well.
Thank you. Okay, we have Judge Nan Waller, Martha Brooks, Eva Ripito, and Megan Moyer.
Can I see part of my time come up, Ms.
Yes.
Hayden?
Actually, maybe I'll speak.
Okay. Co-chairs Tomei and Gilliam, my name is Nan Waller. I am a judge in Multnomah County, and I have been in juvenile court for over 20 years, and it is from that perspective that I am here. I am, unfortunately, in some cases, on my third generation of a family who's come before the court, and I am strongly convinced after more than 20 years and the abundance of research that has occurred over the past 20 years as to what works, that we need access to early childhood education, and that early childhood education is the road out of another generation. I don't think that there is a tremendous urgency from my perspective, because the children that I see are two steps behind by the time we see them. They have suffered abuse and neglect, and they are, by the time they get to school, we know that they are behind where they should be. Early access to education will help break the cycle for them, and it is vital. And I brought with me Suzanne Hayden, I'll let her identify herself.
Good afternoon. I am Suzanne Hayden. I'm the executive director of the Citizens Crime Commission. Prior to taking this position, I was a DA in Multnomah County and appeared before Judge Waller on termination of parental rights cases. I come before you today as a representative of the Crime Commission. And over the past 20 years, our organization has advocated for efforts to make our public safety system more cost-effective and efficient. And you may think I'm in the wrong committee meeting, but the Crime Commission has long regarded the best crime-fighting strategies to be early intervention services for children. And I'm testifying today in support of the efforts to improve effectiveness, efficiency, and coordination for these services. The current efforts embodied in House Bill 4165 are very much consistent with the Crime Commission's recommendations in our KIPS report, which was published in 2000. And Dick Alexander was a member of the Crime Commission at that time. So thank you for your efforts to improve the coordination and delivery of these very important services for our children.
Thank you. Thank you both for coming.
Hi there.
co-chairs and members of the House Committee on Human Services. Thank you for allowing me some time today. My name is Eva Ripto. I work for Oregon AFSCME Council 75, and we have members who are licensed in-home child care providers, members at Southern Oregon Head Start, and some who work at various county commissions on children and families. But most of my focus today will be on child care providers' perspective. Oregon AFSCME is supportive of HB 4165 and like the goals of having children enter school ready to learn and the conversations around how we can best make that happen. We like that the governor is asking us to look at ways to improve and streamline access to all services for our families, and we appreciate the conversations that the Early Learning Council has been having on what is working in the state and where improvements can be made. We're also appreciative that the calls for meetings to be held at times when parents and providers of the services that are impacted can attend and have that call has been heard and those meetings are being scheduled. And we'd like to encourage amendments, passing amendments that give more time for these hearings to address the big tasks that the Early Learning Council is being given. On our concerns, our major concern is over the definition of quality child care. The roles of child care providers vary with the exception of providing safe and stable care for the children in their care. Some of AFSCME's providers provide care during traditional working hours and have more of a curriculum. Some of our providers see a child for only dinner or lunch because they go to Head Start or stay with a family friend or family member. So basically we want to make sure that quality is not consistent with, or not exclusive to having educational outcomes. We want to make sure that those considerations are made.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks. Sorry.
You're good. Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Tomei, Chair Gilliam, and the committee for offering me this opportunity. My name is Martha Brooks, and I'm the State Director of Fight Crime, Invest in Kids. I'm the other side of Judge Waller's piece. We are a national-wide, bipartisan, nonprofit, anti-crime organization of over 5,500 police chiefs, sheriffs, and district attorneys, including more than 170 members here in Oregon. We take a hard-nosed look at the research about what really works to prevent kids from becoming criminals. Research confirms that support for high-quality early childhood programs, such as Head Start, Early Head Start, Healthy Families, Relief Nurseries, Mental Health Care, and other high-quality education programs are not only vital for the development of individual children, they also represent a crime prevention strategy that can help cut violence, cut crime, reduce prison costs, and save taxpayers money. My testimony is in your packet, and so I won't go through it all. But the bottom line is that Oregon is an independent state. With an independence comes leadership. And so it's time again for Oregon to be a leader in early childhood care. And I go back just briefly, as I was coming down on the freeway, I had the thought of Norma Paulus, when she was state superintendent 25 years ago, walking into rooms and saying to people, a child cannot learn if their belly is empty. Their belly is still empty. 25 years later, we're still dealing with that problem. It's time for Oregon to be bold, to step forward, to deal with the whole child, not just the educational side. So I ask you today to support the governor's bill. I ask you to pass it, to be bold, to take that leap, to go off the wing of the airplane if you even have to, but hang on tight and make it happen. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Chairs Tomei and Gilliam, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Megan Moyer. I'm with the Service Employee International Union, Local 503. We represent child care providers through the employment-related daycare program, as well as the workers of the Department of Human Services and the Employment Department. I'm testifying today. We do not, SEIU Local 503 does not currently have a position on House Bill 4165, but we do greatly support the governor's effort to improve and coordinate the quality of early childhood education and believe that Oregon needs to take steps forward to make sure that we are not leaving children behind. So these questions that I'm raised are not to dissuade against change, simply to ask that we have more clarity as we move forward and make sure that we are thinking about how changes will be implemented and their impacts. So one of the areas of that we had questions about is the role of parent choice in their care providers. House Bill 4165 does not speak to parent choice, so I'm not projecting onto the bill, but it also does not put parent choice in the legislation. It is our belief that the choice of a child care provider is a very personal decision. Parents weigh many factors when deciding on the right choice of provider, and that choice needs to be valued and respected in the process, and we would really encourage to see actual language around parent choice in the legislation. Another area of concern is around employment-related daycare and the multiple functions of employment-related daycare. Early learning certainly being an important one, but it has others. Its role in keeping employment for parents, it serves up to age 12 and odd hour care. So I just want to please read my testimony, but I just wanted to let you hear that there are just some questions out there that we'd appreciate to be thought out.
And you have some new reason for being concerned about.
I do. I have a 7-month-old.
Yes. Thank you, Megan. Thank you all for coming today.
Thank you.
So we have Deborah Murray and Ann Miner. And we're going to call up people who have driven more than 100 miles. So I've got
Mike McCabe
and Brendy Kamini. And then after that, we'll call up Bill Davidson, Bill Thomas, and Dave Fiskum. Dave Fiskum, you didn't drive more than 100 miles.
Madam Chair, how do you know?
I know, Dave.
I've been driving in circles all day.
That's sneaky. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Co-chairs and members of the committee, I appreciate the time that you've given all of us to speak about something we all clearly care deeply about. My name is Deborah Murray, and I am the current vice chair of the Commission for Child Care with the State of Oregon. I'm a governor-appointed commissioner. Later on in my remarks, it also becomes important that I'm the former director of Peninsula Children's Center in North Portland, which is a large nonprofit child care, and at that time was the largest provider of ERDC-supported child care in the city of Portland. I'd just like to say that the commission is firmly in support of this bill. We have appeared at other committees, other hearings with the Early Childhood Council, and been part of making recommendations to see that even though the commission will be disbanded, that hopefully the roles of the commission will continue on, because the commission serves as a conduit for the community and child care and early childhood experts to convene in a place where information can then go to the governor and to the legislature. We have been in existence since 1985 and have regularly put forward information and annual reports on our work and the state of early childhood education. One of the other places that we would like to make sure that you focus on, which pertains to my role as a child care director, is the tiered quality rating and improvement system. This is an outgrowth of what Peninsula was privileged to be part of, the Quality Indicators Project. The Child Care Division does a wonderful job of establishing basic guidelines in terms of health and safety, but this tiered system challenges child care providers to look at a framework of ongoing and continuing quality improvements, which are very important to the children, the families, and the child care as a field. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah.
Co-chairs, Representative Gilliam, Representative Tomei, and members of the committee. My name is Ann Miner, and with apologies to all of those in the room who are Duck fans, I am here on behalf of Little Beavers Preschool. As a director of the preschool, I would like to express to you our support for House Bill 4165. Little Beavers Preschool is a licensed child care center aptly located in Corvallis, Oregon, and we serve children and families there since 1973. We were recently designated as an Oregon Program of Quality, and I truly wish that I had time to express to you the myriad of benefits that we received by meeting these standards of quality. The Oregon Program of Quality is serving as a foundation for Oregon's tiered quality rating and improvement system proposed in this bill. We know that 3 out of 4 Oregonian children will pass through a paid child care setting before turning age 5. A TQRIS that is implemented across the state, I believe, would profoundly help child care programs such as our own to prepare and ready young children for success in school and in life.
Thank you.
Hi.
Can I ask her a question?
Yes.
Do you know who Little Beaver was?
Do I know who Little Beaver was?
Little Beaver was a character.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I grew up with, and he was the engine sidekick of Red Rider.
Okay.
His horse's name was Papoose.
I didn't know that. I do know that the founders are huge OSU fans and played in the Rose Bowl.
Ah, I see. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Go ahead. Chair Skillam and Tomei, members of the House Committee, Human Services Committee, I'm Brenda Comini, and I'm the Director for the Cook County Commission on Children and Families, and I'm actually offering up testimony today on behalf of Judge Mike McCabe, who unfortunately had to leave before his name was called. Copies of his testimony have been provided to you. The Commission on Children and Families provides joint citizen and agency input in working together to improve conditions for children and families in our counties. We bring forward target issues for children and families as partners, identify and implement solutions, and look to use ways that are proven to work. The process has also resulted in leveraging additional resources to affect positive change in a county that continues to have high rates of unemployment and youth and family poverty. Cook County Commissioners support these efforts and believe that county government has a clear role in assuring success for children and families in our county and region. We support the outcome of having children enter school ready to learn and have been working regionally with Deschutes and Jefferson counties to develop a service delivery system for children prenatal through 6 years that will integrate with health reform efforts and ensure increased access to services for our most vulnerable youth. In the spirit of support for these efforts, we would offer the following suggestions to House Bill 4165 to make it more effective locally. He has articulated some things that we've already heard today that I won't repeat in terms of a smooth transition process. We support the bill language that would delay an RFP in the delay in the RFP process merely to provide that transition and to formulate our hubs. We've been working on it pretty aggressively for about 9 months, and so we know that there's work to go. And we believe that that's the situation across the state. The early learning target audience has been referred to as children 0 to 5, and we would suggest articulation of prenatal through 6 to bridge that gap to what is the Youth Services Council. And the last piece that I think that is important is that with the development of the Youth Council, it suggested that some specific funding sources be moved to that in a very intentional way to serve those older kids, and that we take a look at outcomes across educational success, school retention, and law-abiding behaviors, rather than specifically articulating gang prevention, but including that.
Thank you for your time. Okay, next we have Bill Davidson, Bill Thomas, and Dave Fiscom, and Catherine Finley. And I think that's all we have, the people who've driven more than 100 miles. Is there anybody whose name I haven't called who drove over 100 miles? All right.
Madam Chair, committee members, good afternoon. This is Dave Fiscom here representing the Coalition of County Children and Families Commissions. I may not have traveled 100 miles to get here, but it does seem like it. I think there are other people at this dais who have not maybe made that trip. But to my right, immediately to my right, is Bill Davidson, the chair of our commission, who did come to Salem from Bend today, so he meets the criteria. I'm here to say to you on behalf of the coalition that we support House Bill 4165, but as Mr. Davidson and Mr. Thomas, to his right, will tell you in a moment, we have some suggested changes. We offer those in a good spirit, in a positive spirit. I would say to you that we are prepared to talk to you about House Bill 4165 as printed. We have seen there are several amendments this afternoon. We have not even had a chance to read those. Understandably, we can't comment on them today. I want to compliment Duke Shepherd for his dealing with us. He's been very transparent and very cordial in providing documentation to us along the way, and he deserves credit for that. And obviously his boss spoke in eloquent terms, as you noted, about the governor about this bill. We support it. We've tried to work in a very constructive way to make this system that we're moving to, the Early Learning Council, work as effectively as possible, so we don't lose the benefit of a number of local programs that have worked very well throughout this state. Many of our directors are in the room behind me or are listening online, and they deserve credit for their work over the years to do best by the children and families, and that's our goal, to do best by children and families. Madam Chair, thank you for your indulgence, and with your permission, I will turn to Mr. Davidson to my right.
Great. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Co-Chairs Gilliam and Tomei, members of the committee. I'm Bill Davidson. I'm a citizen volunteer, chair of the Deschutes County Children and Families Commission, and I speak to you today as the chair of the Coalition of Children and Families Commissions. I want to make 6 points. I'll try to be very brief. My 6 points are the following. It's the understanding of the coalition that the governor's office is submitting an amendment delaying the elimination of local commission programs and services until June 30th, 2013. We support that. The coalition appreciates the assurance that the amendment will include language specifying the Early Learning Council partnership with Oregon counties. We also support that. The coalition supports language that will delay an RFP process so that accountability hubs, referred to as community-based coordinators of early learning services in the language, will not begin functioning until July 1st, 2013. Delaying the timing of these hubs will help to ensure that these hubs have time to coalesce throughout the state and prepare for the RFP process. We would also encourage that preference be given to those RFP submissions that document well-established collaborative and require entities to work together to form partnerships rather than create a competitive environment. We believe sections of House Bill 4165 dealing with the proposed Youth Development Council need to be strengthened by providing a council with a director, by creating a fund for the Youth Development Council parallel to the Early Learning Council Fund, and by clarifying either in HB 146 or in the Ways and Means Committee that the youth investment funding as well as juvenile crime funding be allocated to the Youth Development Council. Finally, the coalition questions the timing for repeal of various statutes dealing with the local Children and Families Commission. If local commissions will remain in place for another year through June 30th, 2013, we suggest that repealing all of the local commission statutes could be handled in 2013 legislative session when you and your colleagues will be able to review the implementation plans from the Early Learning and Youth Development Councils before finalizing the repeal date.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and Co-Chair Gilliam, my name is Bill Thomas. I'm Director of the Washington County Commission on Children and Families, which is 100 miles round trip, I suppose. Our commission fully supports the governor's vision for ensuring that children come to school ready to learn, have the tools that they need to graduate high school, and to be successful in life. At the same time, we do support the 6 points that Bill Davidson just articulated on behalf of the commission. We haven't had a chance to see if the amendments that have been submitted address all of those points. We hope that they do, in which case our commission would be fully supportive of passing 4165 as amended. recommended. We do think that it's critical to have a one-year transition so there is an orderly and seamless transition of services in local communities that children and families currently depend upon, that are funded and managed through local commissions. Washington County over the years has established a system of family resource centers that are based in school districts. We have 5 family resource centers that serve all 7 school districts. In any given year, over 20,000 children and families are served through those family resource centers. About 30% of them are 0 to 5, about 70% of them are school-aged children and youth. Our concern is to ensure that in the implementation of House Bill 4165, that there is an opportunity for local communities like Washington County to build on what is working. We believe that our family resource centers, for example, would be an ideal foundation for the family resource managers, familiar name, that are envisioned under the Early Learning Council. That's why we need a transition so that those don't go away and have to be rebuilt a year from now. And we also ask that there be a continuity of funding and services for school-aged children and youth, so that those services that many families and children in Washington County and other counties around the state depend on will not be lost. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Good afternoon, co-chairs Tomei and Gilliam. My name is, and members of the committee, I apologize. My name is Catherine Wiley. It's W-I-L-E-Y. And I'm here because I am one of hundreds of Oregon citizens who have demonstrated their dedication, care, and contributions as volunteers in the 36 local commissions of children on children and families. Over the past 10 years, I have served as a member of the board and related committees for the local Curry County Commission and represent them here today. We receive no income, have no fringe benefits, no mileage reimbursement, travel budgets, or expense accounts. What we do have is a current collective of over 500 volunteers who contribute their individual time, efforts, and expertise in support of community-based local coalitions endeavoring to improve and strengthen the health and well-being of children and families in our communities. Our numbers include representatives from childhood and adult education, law enforcement, juvenile crime and prevention, faith communities, 4-H, health care, and businesses. We are appointed by our county's boards of commissioners, and we know with 16 small rural and remote counties, 14 medium-sized counties, and 6 large that one size does not fit all. It is certain that the dollar value of these volunteer efforts over the 15 years of the Commission on Children and Families easily exceeds millions of dollars. The coalitions built and trust and respect earned are incalculable. Our jobs include planning, strategizing, and participating in meetings, developing coalition partners, evaluating funding proposals, monitoring, technical assistance, fundraising, grant writing, advocacy, and always dealing with needs that exceeds our resources.
Thank you so much, Catherine. Thanks for all you do, all of you.
We will submit electronically. Thank you.
So now we have Karen Nibbler, Cindy Venture, and Cindy Langstrom, and Tricia Smith. Just sit down and start talking, dear.
Okay. I will.
Good.
Thank you so much for letting me come and speak. My name is Cindy Fincher. I'm with Todos Juntos, and I work for a nonprofit who actually provides some of these services that we've been talking about in the local community. We serve communities of Sandy, Estacada, Malala, and Canby, as well as Milwaukee. Gosh, there's just been so much that's been said, but I would like to emphasize that I work with a lot of these children and families, and the focus of our work has been in the middle school as well as in the high school.
Push that away from me a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you, dear.
You're welcome. We've worked mostly with middle school and high school age youth, and I understand the importance of the Early Learning Council. I followed SB 909. I've attended the ECC Rock Creek campus venue that the governor had. And I love what he's trying to do. I really do. I think it's important to be to unify and to have the same type of goals and to cut out things that we don't need. And I believe in early learning education and supporting the 0 to 5, but I do not want to see the middle silo or the middle school, the school-age children be left behind. I know that in Clackamas County, we've worked really hard to develop PreventNet sites, which are similar to what the gentleman was talking about in Washington County. And I know that, the PreventNet site model is really what the governor is shooting for with his family resource manager at the hubs. We have PreventNet sites all over Clackamas County that are functioning. They have assessments in place, and they have outcomes that have been very well measured. 85% of our children that run through our programs and are identified as at risk and brought resources to have been successful in our programs. So I would love to see those continue, and I know that there has been an amendment that's been put on that, as we just found out today, so I'm excited about that.
Thank you, Cindy.
Okay. Hello, my name is Abigail Seeler, and I am also with PreventNet. I work through Northwest Family Services as a PreventNet site coordinator, so we're funded by Clackamas County Commission on Children, Youth, and Families. And I'm here, just as Cindy is, to stress the importance of the middle and high school years and that those not be forgotten when you're considering this bill. I know that the amendments that you addressed today should take care of some of that. However, I do have fears that because of so much emphasis on the early childhood, which of course we're, you know, in support of early childhood, but that it not be taken from programs that are already out there, already working, and then, you know, these students that I see every day and work with are left with no support, no resources, or an extreme lack of these things. I just want to kind of tell a really quick personal story because I feel like putting a personal face to this is important. So I know particularly I'm in Rex Putnam High School as well as two other of the staff members, and we work with a group of about 15, well, that's a very small portion of the students we work with, but 15 Latino youth who, when we initially started working with them 2 years ago, were not on track to graduate, came from, you know, homes where there had been alcoholism and just really horrible, you know, their English is their second language, so just these students who low socioeconomic status and are really struggling, and since we've been there and working with them, these students are all on track to graduate. 14 of the 15 are graduating early, 13 will be the first students in their generation to get a high school diploma, and the majority of them are all planning on attending either college or some sort of technical school. So that's just great. A personal story.
Thank you, Abigail.
Co-Chair Tomei and Gilliam, I represent League of Women Voters of Oregon.
Name?
Karen Nibbler. Also, I've served on the Benton County Commission on Children and Families for 6 years, so I have that background too. For the League of Women Voters, they support programs for children at risk, and we support the Early Learning Council because we encourage the full development of children, and also we support early childhood development, developmental services, and family support programs. But we have some concerns about this bill. Our major concern is the transition and what's going to happen to the local services during this transition time. I'm one of these chicken people. I hate to let go of that rope until I got the other one in my hand. But we're changing from one governmental structure to another, and that process, I'm afraid there's going to be some gaps in service or gaps in funding that's going to affect the local services. And we want to keep those local services going as well as we can during that transition time. So whatever you can do, you know, not to have a gap and to have the RFP process happen at the right time so they're ready to take over in July of 2013.
Thank you, Karen. Okay, Tricia.
Good afternoon, Madam and Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Tricia Smith, represent Oregon School Employees Association. We represent 20,000 educators working from pre-K through post-secondary in Oregon, including Oregon's Head Start programs and its early intervention and early special education for children.
We have been involved in the development of the Early Learning Council since our president was on the Early Learning Design Team a year ago. We continue to be very active and involved and interested in this process. We appreciate the governor's commitment to improving early childhood programs using the Head Start model. We all know it works. Why not use it? The problem with Head Start and the problem with EIECSE has not been that those models don't work, it's that they're underfunded. We hope that through the process of this bill, we'll be able to expand that model and use it to provide the services to more children as we go forward. We appreciate and believe that House Bill 4165 is a critical step in our progress toward achieving the goal of all children being provided access to the services and the education that they need and deserve. We look forward to the discussions that are going to take place in the next year in the Early Learning Council as they do the research and produce the reports that are required in 4165. ELC is going to determine what the successes and the barriers are and how to overcome those barriers and how to protect those successes. They're going to determine how much all this is going to cost, and they're going to determine what it looks like at the local level. Our only concern in this bill is that it puts in place, in statute, in sections 10 and 11, a process that hasn't been created. We would like you to take a look at the bill, see all the things that must be done between now and the next time you come into this building, ask them to do those things, and then come back with a plan to implement it in 2013.
Thank you, Tricia. We still have so many people who have waited, and so we're going to change it to, we're going to notify you after a minute, and we're going to have to close it off at a minute and a half. Let's see, somebody
Cindy.
I didn't, Cindy Blackstrom, is she here? I called
her
before.
I deferred to one of mine.
Got it, okay. So who do we have? Judy Shipwreck, I see, is here. Brent?
Nope.
Michael Eichmann? Ronnie Herndon? Ronnie's here? Right. And Mark Nelson. Okay. Judy, just start.
Good afternoon. Yes, it's really a delight to be here. I am Multnomah County Commissioner Judy Shipwreck. And I am so pleased to be among the champions for children who testified to this very patient committee today. So I really have only 3 points, so half of the time is going to be ample. My first point is I want to applaud the legislature for prioritizing investing in a program that is going to cost less money to earn better returns. It's a sound policy model, it's a sound business model, and it's good for kids. Secondly, I want to talk about the outcomes that your prioritization will avoid, and those include poverty, unstable families, substance abuse, and involvement in the criminal justice system. These outcomes are bad news for kids, they're bad news for communities, and they're really hard on the governments, the local governments, who directly serve those folks. And I also want to express support for the one-year extension of local commissions. I have some written testimony. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judy.
Oh. Yes, hello. My name is Michael Eichmann, and I am here in support, I guess you'd say, of the dream of what House Bill 4165 is about. But I have reservations about the details. And I think as a Head Start director in a program, I work with a governance structure that actually engages parents. And a lot of times I talk with them about what a prudent person would do in the process of looking at it. And this legislative process I struggle with in terms of not knowing how these details are changing, even as we sit here in the room, not being able to actually then respond to them. And I would have to, in good faith, say to these parents that I work with the program that we would need more time to look at the details before we could say that we support this process. And so I do believe in the dream of what the governor's talking about. But that sense of faith and that act of just going out there on the limb and letting that be the way in which I do it, I'm just not sure that that's what a prudent person would do in light of where we're at, at least currently. I'm passing out to you, I guess you're a legislative assistant, there's some information about the Head Start process. And we create a compassionate partnership with all the families in our program. And what we are is really a comprehensive human development program. And that's what I think in terms of all these partnerships. I hear folks up here, I know folks from Family Building Blocks, we have a partnership with them that's detailed there. And you'll see I have in my literature here, we're putting together a contract with them to support what they're going to be doing with a program to visit parents. We are just, you know, we have 22 parents in our program who are getting GEDs. We have folks who are involved in higher education. And I guess I want you to think about that sense, that we need more details to be able to go forward in good faith with this program.
Thank you, Michael. Go ahead.
Representative Tolman, Representative Gilliam, thank you very much for the opportunity to testify. I've been a Head Start director since 1975 in Portland, Oregon.
Give me your name.
Ronnie Herndon. We currently serve over 1,000 families, birth, prenatal through 5 years old. Most people, and it's good to hear so many people support Head Start, most are not aware of many of the services Head Start provides outside of classroom services. During the last couple of years of the Bush administration, they released a report that credited Head Start with reducing childhood mortality in the entire country, not just among Head Start families, but because of health services Head Start provides, it has reduced childhood mortality in the entire country. The reason, as Michael said, that we are concerned about the bill, as written, there are no safeguards with these hubs that would protect all the comprehensive services that Head Start now provides. There are no safeguards that they could decide we're not going to offer health care, we're not going to offer family services. Why is this so important? Unfortunately, during Governor Kitzhaber's last time as governor of the state, he approached the regional office of Head Start and asked that they lower the federal cost per child for Head Start so they could do the same thing in the state of Oregon. That's our fear. That's what's behind all of the uproar in the Head Start community, because once before we heard the talk, we heard the vision, but when it came down to the actual action, the action was to reduce funding for Head Start services in the state for the most vulnerable children and families through Head Start.
Thanks so much. Thanks for coming today.
Sure.
Madam Chair, Representative Gilliam, and members of the committee, my name is Mark Nelson. I represent the Head Start Association. I'm afraid we are the governor's peck's bad boy, so to speak, and we don't like fighting with the governor, and quite frankly, because he's smarter than we are. And I have the tire tracks over the years to sort of prove it. But again, this has not been a pleasant process, but we have... We represent 13, 14,000 of the lowest, poorest families in the state. And we have an obligation to those families to meet their needs. I want to say this, we're getting closer and closer with the governor. The governor has come a long ways, quite frankly. I think we have too. Originally, this concept, they were going to move all the funding. You remember that. Both in the last session and this session, the governor has backed off on that and moved everything to 2013. We really appreciate that. He's agreed to adopt the Head Start performance standards in statute for Oregon pre-kindergarten, and that's an important distinction. Governor's amendment today moving to 2013, we really appreciate that. Our fundamental problem at this point, and I hope you'll give me some indulgence, Madam Chair, because I want to talk about some amendments and some things that have happened today I think the committee should know.
I can't do that, Mark. You're welcome to come back. Or you can meet with us individually, but I can't give you more time than I give other people.
We have amendments that we're working out with Representative Kotek, and to deal with the issue of this legislature not knowing what's going to go into the hubs, and at least having the opportunity in 2013 to review that plan and to approve that plan. And that's all we're asking for.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you all for coming today. Sorry to make the time so short. Eduardo Abuelo, Am I pronouncing it anywhere close?
Angulo. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Chair.
Merrily Haas, Christina McMahon, Allison Kelly. Is that four? Thank you. Just start right ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Yes. For the record, co-chairs, ma'am, Tomei and Representative Gilliam. My name is Eduardo Angulo. I'm the chairman and executive director of the Salem-Keizer Coalition for Equality. We are a coalition of Latino community organizations that serve our low-income and immigrant community here in the Willamette Valley. I'm also a member of the Marion County Commission on Children and Families. I first of all, want to echo what Representative Frederick said about the definition of equality. It's very important that we talk about that because I'm sitting here in front of you representing the kids that are the ones that get the brunt. Those 50% that do not graduate, those English language learners, those children of color, And for us, it's about the issue of programs that are working, that should not be cut, that we really got to make a difference on what are we going to do with the Head Start program. We're taking a leap of faith, but we want to take that leap of faith because we have our kids of color, our English language learners, being the most heavily affected by our current public education system and early education system. So we are supporting the governor proposals, but we are taking a leap of faith, and we want to have those experts that are the people that have been in the trenches, being at the table when they're designing the new system. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good afternoon, Chair Tomei and Chair Gilliam and members of the committee. My name is Christina McMahon. I'm the Juvenile Services Division Director for the Department of Community Justice in Multnomah County, but I'm here today representing the Oregon Juvenile Department Directors Association. And I'm here to specifically weigh in with our support for the portions of House Bill 4165 that specifically address the Youth Development Council and the Juvenile Crime Prevention Advisory Committee. We do support the development of the Youth Development Council, and we believe that a coordinated and aligned approach amongst various stakeholders and entities that serve youth it will be better for the children and adolescents in Oregon. We did have a concern with the JCPAC being about the Juvenile Crime Prevention Advisory Committee being abolished effective in June, and we did work with Duke Shepard from the governor's office, and my understanding from his testimony today is that he has proposed amendments to take care of that concern. The juvenile directors would like to see a one-year extension so that there's an opportunity for a thoughtful transition process. We also wanted to emphasize that we the juvenile directors are very supportive of the provisions of the Youth Development Council legislation that put an emphasis on programming and prioritization for gang prevention and intervention efforts on a statewide level. It is not just a metropolitan issue, it's a statewide issue. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Christina. Go ahead, ma'am.
Co-Chair Tomei and Co-Chair Gilliam and members of the committee. My name is Merrily Haas, and I am Executive Director of the Oregon Association for the Education of Young Children. We're a statewide early childhood organization representing people across the spectrum from family child care, Head Start, preschools, private programs, school age programs, college and university folks that prepare people for these professions, as well as child care resource and referral staff who also do community-based training and give information to parents. We are committed to that broad reducing the silos in this system and also to the ongoing professional development of our members. And for that reason, I am here to speak today about the tiered quality rating and improvement section 109 of the bill.
The tiered quality rating and improvement system is a national trend with over 17 states participating in a statewide system. Tiered systems are a way to measure the quality of services to children and making that information available to parents and policymakers. They also provide technical assistance and training to individuals and programs so that they can move up the system. It's essential that all components of the tiered quality rating and improvement system be included in order for it to be effective.
Thank you.
I've sent my information electronically as well as the link to the publication.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead. Good afternoon, Co-Chair Tomei, Co-Chair Gilliam, members of the committee. I'm Allison Kelly, and I'm the director for the Marion County Children and Families Commission. I have submitted written testimony, and I'm going to make one point that's not in the testimony, so I think if the letter comes across, that'll do the trick. You've heard language about a transition year for local commissions, and I want to be very clear. In Marion County, you're not hearing us say no. You're hearing us say, let us help you do this well, because there's some things that we do pretty well in Marion County. So here's an example. Right now, the state local commissions administer those funds for Healthy Start. That means that we write contracts, and with those contracts comes some money. Those monies go to providers. Those providers hire employees who act as home visitors, who develop relationships with the people that they're serving. What we've learned over the years is when they switch providers and switch employees because of the switch in money, families won't want to work with a new home visitor. They just stop using the service. So when you hear that transition language, that's just us trying to say, let's help smooth that so we don't lose families in the process.
Very good point.
Yeah, the rest of the testimony, I'm proud to be able to work with Eduardo. We have already changed a number of our investment strategies in Marion County. You'll hear a lot of don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm going to tell you, Rolling Stone gathers no moss. Not a lot of moss in Marion County. Folks are already moving, so it's exciting. Thank you.
Thank you all for all you do. Abigail Seeler, Jen Forsman, and Celeste Calvin, and Susan something. This is the DES.
Susan Hayden.
Susan Hayden. Susan, somebody who signed up in blue ink. Okay, just sit down and start talking, dear. Go ahead.
To everyone on the committee, my name is Celeste Calvin. I work for Northwest Family Services in Clackamas County with the PreventNet system in Alder Creek Middle School. And as I'm still learning because I work with youth. I don't really understand everything that's going on and all of the changes that are happening. But as we move forward, the thing that I'm concerned the most about is the students in middle and high school and what happens to them in the transition. I could sit here and give you a million stories of students who have had things going on in their lives that need continued support as this transition happens, what happens to them. A specific story is a young lady who is in the school that I work in came to me and disclosed that she had been sexually abused for years. She's now in the foster care system and needs the continued support as she goes before a grand jury to tell her story. What happens to her and other students like her in this transition, even in 2013, the students and families that we've been working with. That's the concern that we have.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's a hard group to work with.
Members of the committee, my name is Jennifer Forsman, and I work with Celeste with Northwest Family Services. I'm the PreventNet site coordinator at Gardner Middle School in Oregon City. And many of the reservations I have about this are similar to Celeste's. The school that I work in has nearly 700 students, and due to budget cuts, they have one full-time counselor and one half-time counselor. And so obviously, having extra personnel in the building like us has made a huge difference comes to the school. We have a number of students who are able to come and talk to us and work with us when they aren't necessarily able to be seen by a counselor, or even, you know, with larger class sizes, their teachers aren't able to give them the attention that they need. I had one student who was continually acting out in class, and everyone was frustrated with her. No one had time for her. And they asked me if I would start working with her, and I was able to do that because I have the time for that that they don't have. And so within a few weeks, I found out that she was living in a single-parent home. Her mother is an alcoholic. She was consistently subjected to abuse and watching abuse in the home. And so I was able to start working with them to get her the help that she needed. We also run after-school programs, and both of us have over 100 students in our programs after school who are largely at-risk students who wouldn't be able to receive services like that or have a place to be after school if these programs that currently exist are discontinued because of funding after this bill is passed. So those are the concerns that we have.
Thank you so much. Thanks for
watching. Thank you.
Now, I had Susan somebody, but I can't read the last. Did anybody sign up who didn't get to speak? Did I skip anybody?
Well,
Mr. Chair, 1 minute to go.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'm in too. Thank you all. You were all great. Thank you for being willing to talk just a minute or two. We had a lot of people to get through. We wanted to make sure we heard everybody. So, and feel free to contact our offices if we didn't hear everything that you wanted to say. We're going to be taking we're going to take a 5-minute break. We're going to continue the hearing on House Bill 4084, which is regarding elder abuse, if anybody wants to stay for that. So thank you all. Thanks for all the work you do. You're great. The state needs you.